Hi there, my name is Jed, and welcome to my Philosophy Corner. In this talk, we're going to take a look at sex. It's something we all do in a variety of ways, and I want to focus specifically on the norms of sex. That is, what do we consider normal sex, and how it's changed over the years? So to start, what is sex? What does that word mean? Is it simply penetration? The intimate and loving coupling of people? A source of pleasure, procreation, or both? I think when most people hear this word, they have a pretty good idea of what it is, but to put it into words is difficult. For most, sex is, well, sex. It is an essential component for not just humans, but for all living things in the world. Yet despite its natural essentiality, we have made sex so much more now. It's something primal, artistic, poetic, and, well, fun. We like sex, our bodies and our minds. However, why we all have sex differs, who we all have sex with differs, and how we have sex differs. Given these differences, trying to think of what is normal sex is broad, difficult. So is it possible to have bad or wrong sex in this line of thinking? Meaning, is it possible to have sex that isn't considered normal? What is normal when it comes to sex? The meaning of normal sex is something that's changed and evolved throughout history, and I want to take you on a little journey to see what effects this idea of normal sex has had on us, and what it could mean for us today. So to start, for much of Western history, sex was seen as primarily this means of procreation, making babies. This was argued and reinforced through one of the biggest influences on the West, religion. Anything outside of the goal of procreation was seen as bad, useless. For instance, in Genesis 38:10, it stated, "Whosoever emits semen in vain deserves death, for it is said in Scripture." So the Old Testament even argued for death to those who masturbate. It's a slight overreaction, if you ask me, but this idea of semen in vain is one that's stuck. The Italian Catholic philosopher Aquinas supported this idea of normal sex being one that attempts at making children. He believed that sex existed outside of this was deemed an unnatural vice. Some of these vices, I believe, are agreeable to most, things like incest or bestiality. However, the two that stand out that have had a negative effect on this idea of normal sex is homosexual sex and what he called vitation of the act, or basically, this semen in vain. So what does this belief of normal sex look like in action? Well, the obvious case is that homosexuals were seen as sinners for giving in to this supposed vice, a belief that still exists to this day. One reinforced by the simple fact that babies are not created through this sex. This vitation of act, too, had its consequences. This is part of the reason why certain religious people will refuse to use protection. A condom is a waste. The semen is in vain, forever banished to the latex void. While in history it made sense to have children due to a high death rate, not all children survive to become adults. So, having more children was the solution. But this is now coming into contact with modern-day advances in medicine. We have overpopulation due to this idea. In another roundabout way, this view of normal sex is one that focuses primarily on the male in a heterosexual relationship. The consideration of the female took a back seat. Arguably, this is why to this day we view women having sex openly as negative. Men having multiple sexual partners is something admired. Women, though, is something dirty. That's not to say religion didn't forbid adultery, but it did provide the grounds for this perspective to grow. The woman's role was merely being a vessel. Women who seek a greater role are called whore or slut for simply seeking the same pleasures as men. This male-centric view also neglected the female orgasm, since sex was successful when he finishes. And it was only recently that science discovered what was already potentially there, much to the surprise of a patriarchal society. So this view of normal sex is one that has influenced our societies even up to now. So now let's move to something a little bit more modern, in the view that what constitutes normal sex. And we're going to do this looking at the American philosopher Nagel and his discussion of what he believes is ideal sex, or normal sex. Similarly, in line with Aquinas, Nagel thought a good way to define normal or ideal sex is to look at what is abnormal first, a perversion of the norm, something unnatural to sex itself, not necessarily evil. His argument for what is normal is based on love. He hinted that sex is a loaded type of love. It is reciprocal. Both partners recognize each other as players in the same interactive game, mutual arousal and mutual lust. He considered this to be the ideal sex. I think most of us have understood how sex and love can work in tandem, but must they always? Can they not exist separate from one another? Should sex be considered normal only if there is this clear line of mutual reciprocity? Nagel argues that sexual desires like masochism or sadism are these perversions, since the pleasure that someone gains from these desires is detached from this other. The masochist wishes pain is inflicted on them, the sadist to inflict the pain. It's a sort of one-way road to sexual fulfillment. So this way of thinking about normal sex is one based off love and mutuality of the act. What does that look like in action? Well, it reinforces the negative view of people who have sex outside of loving relationships. It demonizes those whose sexual desires appear on the surface level to be outside this realm of mutuality. Kink shaming is another way to say it. I believe this view is one still based somewhat on the religious view of normal sex, and neglects the large range of sex that consenting people can enjoy themselves and together. While the masochist and sadist both acquire their pleasure in a seemingly selfish way, they're doing so together. Perhaps viewing normal sex in this way of love and mutuality works for an individual preference, but as a collective way of understanding, it may be extremely limiting. Finally, we could view normal sex in a postmodern way through the work of French philosopher Foucault, who argued that sex and sexuality were nothing more than social constructs. It sounds like something an edgy philosophy student would say, I know, right? Everything is a social construct, but that's sort of the point of postmodernism, to break these ideas of what we think are normal. The way Foucault saw it, this idea of normal sex and sexuality was something fabricated by powerful bourgeois for means of control, usually population control. You can think of the Chinese government's use of propaganda for rapid population increase in the 20th century, followed then by the one-child policy. But of course, this is something that has affected all nations, not just China. The goal is for a sort of flourishing of society, power maintenance. What is normal is one that contributes to maintaining some status quo. It makes sexual preferences integral to a person's identity, their being. Foucault argued that this made us easier to control. If they're the ones propagating these identities and sexual normality, they can influence our way of behaving. So, perhaps, the end-all argument for this way of thinking of normal sex is that no such thing exists. It's a facade of the powerful to maintain us. To have sex outside of the simulated norm is an act of rebellion, the best kind of rebellion. However, by breaking this idea of what is normal, do we run the risk of opening up too much? I'm sure anyone listening can think of a handful of sexual desires and preferences that are dangerous in a more objective sense. Something very problematic, even if we break this socially constructed view of normal sex. Where do we draw the line? Even in our digital age, too, we face a shift and challenge in regards to sex. There's a rise in the hookup culture, prevalent and widespread use of porn, and even the advent of sex robots. Sex now, it seems, is something enigmatic, something we can't quite nail down, something free. So, we've taken a look at the views of normal sex from this historical perspective of religion, love, and even control. Which do you agree with? Can we say what is normal sex now? While 50 years ago, something like BDSM was seen as abnormal, it is slowly becoming an acceptable act. Homosexuality, too, was something demonized through history for existing outside of the norm. Perhaps Foucault was right in seeing the idea of sex as simply another means of control. If so, then our sexual identities are something created and reinforced through the government, media, and discourse. Maybe the best way forward for us is to think about sex as something one, two, or even more consenting people do behind closed doors. And it's none of your business. Let me know what you think, and I'll talk to you next time.